Fruit of the Spirit this morning. So we're in week three of the Life in the Spirit series, and I really want to just jump in to the flow of where we've been going the last couple of weeks with Pete and Steve. If you haven't heard the messages, if you weren't around, please go and listen to them online because they could change your life. It's such an amazing thing to speak on the Holy Spirit. But where I want to begin this morning is in Matthew 28. And if you want to throw it up on the screen, Kev, apologies to Kevin, I haven't given him a list of scriptures, so he's going to have to kind of work with me. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. It's a well-known passage of scripture. It's the Great Commission. It's Jesus commissioning his disciples. And he says to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." I think we've all heard that probably many times in our walks. If you're a Christian, if you've known God for any length of time, this is often spoke about in the context of going out and evangelizing, seeing the world one for Christ. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. He's saying, "I've given you a commission to go and win hearts and souls for me." But what I want us to see this morning is he says, "Go and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Now, it is baptism in water, and we believe in full baptism, full immersion in water, but it is much more than that Jesus is commissioning his disciples with. He's saying, "Go and baptize people into the person of God, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's go out into the world and reveal Jesus, reveal the Father God, reveal the Holy Spirit to the world. Teach them to obey all I have commanded you, that they may follow in my ways and come to know the Father just as I know the Father." And there is a responsibility on us to baptize people into God, to fully immerse, to fully baptize, to fully reveal Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit to the world. And this morning, I pray that you would be baptized in a revelation of who God is. Because, you know, to become a disciple of Jesus Christ is to know God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, this triune God that we see working together in union and harmony throughout Scripture, right from the creation of the world through to the ministry of Jesus, and you see through the Acts of the Apostles, the working of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together. And if we as believers, as Christians, can grasp who God is, his nature, his essence, his being, our life will be transformed and the world around us will be transformed. And who wants that for their life and for the life of people around them? And I want to start with this quote. It didn't quite fit into the flow of my message, but I loved it so much that I needed to shoehorn it in somewhere, and I thought I'll start with it. It's by a theologian called J.I. Packer, who you may know, and he's talking of the Holy Spirit, and he says this: "He, the Holy Spirit, so to speak, is the hidden floodlight shining on the Savior. Or think of it this way: it is as if the Spirit stands behind us, each one of us, throwing light over our shoulder onto Jesus, who stands facing us. The Spirit's message is never, 'Look at me, listen to me, come to me, get to know me.' But it is always, 'Look at him, Jesus, and see his glory. Listen to him and hear his word. Go to him and have life. Get to know him and taste his gift of joy and peace.' And the Holy Spirit is always deferring attention to Jesus. He's always bringing glory to Jesus." You see that? Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14 and into John chapter 16. And he says, "The Spirit of truth will come and he will remind you about me. He will point back to me and he will bring glory to my name and therefore bring glory to the Father." And a message on the Holy Spirit should always look like a message on Jesus Christ. So this morning, I'm going to talk about the Spirit, but I'm really going to talk about Jesus Christ. Is that okay? Okay. Let's jump into Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit this morning, but we're not going to do a whole lot of talking about fruit. But we are going to look at Jesus. Galatians 5, 16 to 26. Okay, "I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Point one this morning: God has appointed us and commanded us to bear fruit. God has appointed you and commanded you to bear fruit. Did you know that? So are you being fruitful? Is your life bearing fruit? And in this passage in Galatians, we see this fruit that we are to bear is the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the living God. John 15:8 says, "This is my Father's glory," Jesus speaking, "that you bear much fruit," speaking to his disciples, that's so we can take this as ours, speaking to us, "that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." If you're a disciple, you are recognized by your fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And it's a commission, it's a command, it's an appointment that God has given us as disciples, as ambassadors of the kingdom of light, to bear fruit. Fruitfulness of the Spirit. Genesis 1:28. This is God commissioning Adam and Eve right at creation, right at the outset. God blessed them and he said, "Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." It's a God-ordained mandate on our lives, on each one of our lives. God has ordained, God has commissioned you to go and bear fruit. Are you being fruitful in your life? What kind of fruit are you bearing? And we saw two lists there. We saw the fruit of the Spirit and we saw the fruit of the flesh or the sinful nature. And we can all put our hands up and say, we can look through those lists and we can say there are fruits that we are bearing that are fruit of the Spirit, and there are fruits that we are bearing that may be fruits of the flesh in our lives. And the process of knowing Christ, and we heard that scripture that Steve, that's his name, said this morning about shining like stars, not grumbling, not complaining, not bearing the fruits of the flesh or the sinful nature, but shining like stars and reflecting who Jesus is, reflecting who God is, the fruits of God, the character of God. And the process of becoming like Christ and knowing God is a process of us moving more towards the fruit of the Spirit list and away from the fruit of the flesh list. I'm sure those, and I hope those of you that have known God and walked with God for a while would say you're bearing more fruit in your life today than you were back then. And that's right. That's the process that we go through of becoming like Christ. But I want to ask you this morning, do you desire to be fruitful? And you know, often we desire the gifts rather than the fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is not the same as the gifts of the Spirit. And I just want to draw a distinction just before we get into the weight of this message this morning. You know, scripture says that we should eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. And Paul commissions Timothy, fan those gifts into flame. And in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, excel in the gifts, but don't elevate the gifts and fixate upon them. And, you know, I think this is a really important thing for us to grasp, that actually the gifts of God are given by his Spirit and by his grace. That's what we read in 1 Corinthians 12. God will give us gifts. God gives gifts to his church, to the body of Christ, that we may be built up and established in the things of God. But they are by his grace, just as he determines. That's what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12. So the gifts of God, the gifts of the Spirit, are as God determines. And they are by his grace. Romans 12:6. We have different gifts, really drying up, according to the grace given us. So there is a grace upon your life which will release the gifts of the Spirit into your life. And it's according to God's plan and God's mandate. And God gifts us all very differently. doesn't he? There's a real diversity in the body of Christ, and God will apportion his gifts as he determines, as he sees fit. And actually, as he, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable, Romans 11:29. And this is important for us to understand, that the gifts of God are irrevocable, which means God doesn't take them back. Your version might say without repentance. The Message puts it like this, because you might not understand what irrevocable means, which as I didn't. The Message puts it this, like this: under the gifts of God and his call are under full warranty, never cancelled, never rescinded. He never withdraws his gifts once he has given them. Why? Because they're gifts of his grace. And he gives them as he determines. And fruit, therefore, is not an indication of the character of God, because fruit we have to work out in our lives. There's a distinction between the fruit and the gifts. You know, we should eagerly desire the gifts, but gifts are not an indication of godliness. Gifts are not an indication of godliness because they are apportioned according to God's grace. And don't fixate your life on the gifts, on wanting to be used in the gifts. And all the while desiring those more than desiring to become more like Christ and see the fruit of God just revealed in our lives. Does that make sense? Desire the fruit. If you desire the fruit, the gifts will follow. And God uses those who have their hearts set on him, whose eyes are fixed on him, who desire to bear fruit in their lives, fruit of the Spirit, the character of Christ. But we're looking for character before we're looking for gifting. Because God can use those who have their hearts turned to him, whose hearts are humble and willing to be used by God. But those who are gifted yet lack the character and the integrity and the humility, God will not use in his kingdom. And I want to encourage you this morning to give yourself in becoming like Christ as a follower of Jesus Christ to seeing the fruits of the Spirit born out in your life. And God will use you. God will raise you up in his time according to his plan and purpose over your life. But allow the gift of God's grace to come upon you. Thank you. Matthew 7:21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, again, these are the words of Christ, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, the gift of the Spirit, and in your name drive out demons, the working of the gifts in their life, and in your name perform many miracles, gifts of the Spirit? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. God is looking for hearts set upon him. Desire the gifts. I want to encourage you this morning to desire the gifts, but desire the fruit more in your life. Desire the fruit more. So point one is we've been appointed and commanded to bear fruit. Point two, I've only got 3 points, but they're all quite long. Point two, the fruit we are to bear is the character of Christ, which is what I've been talking about this morning. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Did I miss one out? All of these are attributes of Christ's character that we are to reflect, to shine like stars, to reflect these characteristics of Jesus. And character, the fruit of the Spirit, is what we give ourselves to as followers of Christ. I want to ask you this. What are your goals in your life? Do you have goals in your life of what you want to accomplish and achieve? Maybe places you want to go, gifts that you want to be released in, where you'd like to be in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, whatever it might be. I don't really have many goals. But I do have a really clear vision of the type of person I want to become. The type of husband I want to be. The type of dad I want to be. The type of Christian I want to be, the type of leader, the type of person I want to be in my workplace. And my goals are not wrapped around what I want to become, what I want to achieve, but who I want to become. And again, we looked at the gifts and the character. Are you more consumed with what you will do and what you accomplish rather than who you will become? The type of person that you can become in Christ because of his Holy Spirit working in you. our character, conforming to the character of Christ, becoming more like him. Romans 8:29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. So God has predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of his son, Jesus Christ, to reflect him in love, in joy, in peace, in kindness, in self-control, in all these attributes and more. You know, that list in Galatians 5 is not exhaustive. It gives us a snapshot. There are many more fruits of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, looking towards Jesus, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to the other. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So it's the Spirit's work, and we'll get to that now. But as we behold the glory of the Lord, as we fix our eyes on him, as our gaze is turned towards Jesus, we will be transformed and we will reflect the likeness of this Son who we gaze upon. As we look towards Jesus, we begin to reflect who he is from one degree of glory to the other, which means it's a step at a time. It's one step at a time. We don't suddenly become Christians and there we go. We are like Christ in all his glory and all his magnificence. There's a process, isn't there? We're all a work in progress. God is at work in all of our lives in different ways, but shaping us, molding us to reflect Jesus more. Because the only way of winning this world for Christ is to reflect his son, to reflect him in all his glory, in all his goodness, in all his attributes. And one of the Spirit's primary roles is to conform us to the image of Christ. From one degree to another, you know, it's a lifelong journey that we give ourselves to. You know, I'm a saint, that's what the Word of God tells me, but my behavior is catching up with this status of sainthood, saint, whatever. So you're a saint. You are, that's who you are in Christ, seated in heavenly places, but tell your behavior that, because it needs reminding on a daily basis that actually we're called to reflect Jesus. What an awesome privilege, isn't it, to bear the likeness of Jesus Christ. And, you know, our salvation, which is knowing God, is past, present, and future. The Bible tells us that our salvation, knowing God, is a past, present, and future thing. So Ephesians 2:8 tells us we have been saved. 2 Corinthians 4:16 tells us we are being saved. And 1 Corinthians 15 tells us we will be saved. So, which is it? Yes. It's all of them. You were saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. And I just want to just give you some theological terms for what this means, because it's important for us to grasp this. We have been saved. There's a theological term for this. It's called regeneration. And it means new birth. So the moment that you surrender your life to Christ, there is a new birth that takes place in your life. There is a new beginning. You're given a fresh start, a clean slate. That's regeneration. And then we have been saved. Justification. And the Bible says that we are justified by grace through faith. And justification is this. It's as if we were in a court of law and the judge is sitting there and the judge is Almighty God. And I come into the dock. And I get charged of all my sin, all the things in my life that I've done wrong, that I've gone astray, that I haven't lived up to what God requires of me according to his word. And God says to me, how do you plea? And Jesus is there. And I look to Jesus and I cry out to him and I say, Jesus, save me. And Jesus turns his face to Father God and he says, he's put his trust in me. I will take his charge. I will cancel his debt. His charge is mine. I take it upon myself. And the Father looks at me and he says, you are justified just as if you had never sinned. Justification is a legal standing we have before God because of the saving work of Christ in our lives. All those charges, all those things you've done wrong, all that you are guilty of, all of those things that have shamed you in your life, you have been set free of those by the blood of Christ. That is justification. It's a legal standing you have if you accept Christ in your life. Before God, God looks down, he sees the blood of Jesus Christ over your life as if you had never sinned. if you turn to Christ. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you can be set free of your shame and your fear and your humiliation, all those things that you are guilty of in your life. Christ can set you free from those this morning because he has paid the price. He has stood in the dock and he said, I take your charge. I take your charge. I take your charge upon my life. You can stand right before the living God. Isn't that something to just rejoice in God about? And we are declared righteous. It's a legal standing before God. So we have been saved. When we come to Christ, that's our position. But we are being saved. And it's sanctification. The Bible calls it sanctification. And it's a process that I'm talking about this morning of becoming more like Christ. And it's holiness. It's becoming more holy, reflecting the character of God. And it's in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, we will be saved. That's glorification. And that's basically when we get to heaven, when Jesus returns and the world is wrapped up, we are glorified with Christ, which means we are made completely perfect and righteous for eternity. Past, present, and future. And we're focusing on the sanctification, the we are being saved part this morning, of seeing the fruits of the Spirit born out in our lives. I want to ask you this morning, do you want to change? Is it the desire of your heart? Do you want to become like Christ? Is your mentality, I have to or I get to? I have to lay that thing down. Man, Do I have to do that? Do I have to be involved in a church community? Do I have to be generous with my finances and my time and my gifts and my resources? Do I have to hold my tongue when I want to speak out against that person? Do I have to not grumble and gossip and complain like Steve mentioned this morning? Do I really have to? Or is it that I get to? Is it that I actually get to be a different person? I actually get, it's the privilege on my life to become like Jesus. How do you respond when someone challenges you to be more holy? How do you respond when the word of God doesn't match up to the way that you're actually living? In the way that you speak? In the way you love your husband or your wife or the unlovable people around you, because we all have them in our lives. In the way you talk about others, in the way you spend your money. How do you respond when your elders or leaders challenge you in an area of your life according to scripture which doesn't line up? How do you respond? Therefore, do you desire to bear the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Because if you desire to become like Christ, you will receive rebuke with an open heart. You see, these guys, Pete, George, Steve, and their wives, and also the wider leadership team, your home group leaders, their desire is for your good and to see you grow to reflect Jesus more and more in your life, to become more like him. And therefore, at times, we need pulling up. We need a rebuke. We need a challenge. We need a nudge in a certain direction. We need encouraging in a certain direction. This to say, actually, according to the word of God, your life doesn't quite line up. Let's readjust some things so that you can become more like Christ, so that we can shine like stars in a dark and depraved world. It's not about us. It's about seeing Jesus just reflected, radiated from our lives. Do you actually want to be saved from the old you? Because when I read the Bible, I see when the Holy Spirit comes into a person, we become what the Bible says, a slave to righteousness. And we have a new master in us that requires the things of God, that desires the things of God. And if you don't have the desire, I would ask, do you really know God? Because it's the Holy Spirit in us desires to see us conform to the image of Christ. That's one of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit, is to see you glorify Jesus and reflect Jesus. Do you have that desire deep down? And it doesn't mean that we don't blow it, because we do, day in and day out, don't we? And that's the flesh, that's the human nature, which rears its ugly head often. And that's this war that is waging that we read about in Galatians 5. There's this flesh, this sinful nature, it's Danny, who I am. And there's the Spirit in me, the Holy Spirit in me, who desires that I bear fruit of love, joy, peace, patience. But there's this battle waging in our lives, and it's called the flesh. This is why Paul said, crucify your flesh daily. Die daily. Are you dead today? Are you dead to yourself but alive to Christ? Because unless we are dead to our flesh, dead to our desires, dead to the things of my nature, we won't see the fruit of the Spirit born out in our lives. Die daily. Are you dead this morning? Did you leave your house dead to yourself and alive to Christ Jesus? Point three, bearing Christ is a partnership with the Spirit. So we're commissioned, we're called, commanded to bear fruit in our lives. The fruit we're to bear is the character of Christ, the image of Christ. And this is done in partnership with the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 to 17. Sarah's put a lid on this for me. Yeah, just get me a beaker next time. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. I just described that. There's this war between the flesh and the sinful nature. And Paul writes, live by the Spirit in verse 16 there. He says, be led by the Spirit in verse 18. And he says in verse 25, keep in step with the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is key if we want to see the fruit of the Spirit born out in our lives. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with all its passions and its desires. John 3, 6, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. So the fruit of the sinful nature will be the things of the flesh, the things that we desire. Sexual immorality, impurity, jealousy, selfishness. I'm sure we can all say we've seen those fruits in our lives at times, and they're the fruit of the flesh. Matthew 7, sorry, I'm throwing these scriptures at you, but rather Jesus speaks than me. Matthew 7, 16 to 18. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Matthew 12, 33. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. A good tree will bear good fruit. And I have a tree with me this morning. No, this isn't a tree. This is a chair. Does anyone know what this tree is? Oh, look, this has got broken. No, it's not a cherry. No. Could be going a while here. if no one knows, we'll go through all the fruits. It's a nectarine tree. We bought it a couple of days ago. I thought, oh, this would be great for an illustration. We are actually going to try and cultivate this tree and see fruit born. I think with a nectarine tree, it takes about 4 years before we start seeing fruit if we tend to it well. But a good tree will bear good fruit. And I wonder if Alex could come up. I've asked Alex to help me with an illustration this morning. And I'm going to ask Alex to do his best. We want to see this tree bear fruit. And I've asked Alex to give it his best shot this morning. Go for it.
Thanks for the prep. So hopefully this tree has got some life in it. So I've done a lot of research on fruit. And what was it, a nectarine tree? Mr. Nectarine Tree. I've done a lot of research and I've found that if you don't bear fruit, people will ignore you. And after a few years, they'll actually cut you down. So you've got to be careful because you'll actually look dead to people. And they'll come and they'll cut you. And then you've lost your chance in life to bear your fruit. So I'd say bear your fruit right now because, you know, there are people around. And if they don't see fruit coming out, they're going to cut you down. Okay, so that hasn't worked. So the next thing I'd suggest, that's a negative sales pitch. What about a positive sales pitch? So look at all these lovely people around. Now, you're a baby tree right now, but in 4 years' time, potentially, people could be having their picnics underneath you. These people look very hungry. They look also like they're lacking vitamin C. The things that you could be growing are the exact things that these people need. So grow, tree, grow. Give us this nectarine, and we will live and enjoy life right underneath you. Go for it. It's not working. What's my commission package, by the way? That's it. That's all I've got.
Well, can we get a chant going? Thanks, Alex. Thank you very much. Let's get a chant going. Alex said, grow fruit, grow tree, grow. Can we do that? Let's do this together, because maybe we just need a little bit more willpower. We need a little bit more energy in the room. We need a little bit more gusto. So I want you to give everything you've got, and we're going to go, grow, tree, grow. Grow, tree, grow. Give it all you've got. Grow, tree, grow. Grow, tree, grow. Grow, tree, sing it if you like. Grow, tree, grow. Dance it. Grow, tree, grow. Is that all you've got? Come on. It's not working. Thanks, Alex. I appreciate your efforts. Stop trying to bear fruit. Stop trying to bear fruit. You cannot bear fruit in and of yourself. A good tree will bear good fruit. No amount of reason or willpower or human effort will ever lead to you bearing fruit in your life. This is why resolutions suck. Because they are based on our own our own willpower, our own efforts to change. And we all know, anyone who started a resolution, it begins in the flesh, it ends in the flesh. That's what the Bible says. Flesh gives birth to flesh. What we begin out of, and there's a, your desire may be genuine. I want to change. I want to adjust this thing in my life. But you will not bear fruit unless it is a good tree. A good tree bears good fruit. We can't fake the fruit. We can't pretend it's there. What's the point of pretending to eat the fruit off a tree which isn't real? It will not sustain you. It will not nourish you. A good tree produces good fruit, but the tree never concerns itself with bearing fruit. Did you know that? The tree is not concerned with bearing fruit. The tree concerns itself with absorbing and transporting water and nutrients from the soil to the rest of the tree through its root system and through the absorption of light. It wants to stay healthy. The tree is concerned with staying healthy, not bearing fruit. The result of staying healthy is bearing fruit. And as long as the branch is connected to a healthy vine, it bears fruit. And I didn't prep Emmeline this morning, but we had that song that she sang out about remaining and abiding in Christ. And we're just going to read that now and wrap this message up in John 15. So if you can turn there, please. You cannot be more loving. You cannot try. Don't focus on the fruit in your life. Focus on the vine. Stay connected. John 15, I am the true vine, Jesus speaking again, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me or abide in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And it goes on to talk about remaining in his love, obeying his commands. Sorry, let's read those verses. Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. As I have obeyed the Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that your joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Love each other as I have loved you. Jesus is the vine. He is the good tree. that we need to be connected to. We are the branches commanded to bear fruit, and Father God is the gardener, and he's concerned with our fruitfulness. He's concerned with your fruitfulness, probably more than you, actually. And in order to bear fruit, we need to do two things. Number one, embrace the pruning of the gardener. And number two, we need to remain in the vine. So very quickly, embrace the pruning. Pruning is about encouraging health and strength of the tree to make it more fruitful. I'm not a gardener. I don't pretend to know anything about gardening or growing fruit trees. I will have to learn very quickly. But pruning is about the strength and the nourishment of the tree to make it more fruitful. And God prunes branches that are bearing fruit, and he removes branches that aren't bearing fruit. That's what we read there in John 15. He cultivates the living and he cuts away the lifeless. Hebrews 12, 6 and 10. The Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness, that character of Christ, that work of the Spirit in our lives. God is committed to your spiritual health and your spiritual well-being and your fruitfulness. Isn't that wonderful? The God of the universe, Almighty God, is committed to you, and he knows what areas of your life need to be honed. What parts of us need molding and shaping, the parts of us that aren't submitted to him, the parts of us that need cutting off, and the parts of us that need more attention, more work in our lives. And pruning and removing branches will be painful. It involves cutting. But if you embrace it, you will be more fruitful. Trust God. Trust God in the pruning process. In the process he's taking you through of becoming like Christ. It is painful at times. God will use any manner of things in our lives so that we will become more fruitful and be more like Christ. Our circumstances, the people in our lives, they're there so that you become more like Christ. Those awkward, deliberately awkward, maybe not so deliberately awkward people in your life are there so that you become more like Christ, to prune you, to shape you, and trust God in the process. And secondly, remain in the vine. Remain in Christ, in his love, in his word. Be found in Christ. Abide in him. Make your home in him. Take up residence in the presence of God. Stay put. Remain means stay put. Don't move. Don't shift from that place of being found in Christ. Be united to him. Stay in this vital union with Christ. Be continually connected to him, because no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, Christ, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Your union with Christ is your very life source. It's your life source. It's my life source, my union with Christ. How do we bear the fruit of Christ and his character? By remaining in him, by abiding in him, by being devoted to him. Really, that's what this series is about with the life of the Spirit, is about a life that abides in Christ, is found in him, that is devoted to him. Time in his presence daily. Obedience to his words. In John 15, we read that. If you want to remain in me, be obedient to my word. Remain in my word. If you want to bear fruit in your life, then be diligent in your study and your dedication to the word of God. Allow the word of God to wash over you, as the Bible talks about, and bring that change in your life. Worship, praise and worship is one way that we abide, that we remain in Christ. Because we lift our eyes to Jesus. When we sing about Jesus, we begin to fix our eyes on him. Our hearts turn towards him. Spend time with others who are connected, who abide with Christ. Spend time with people who know and love God and are passionately dedicated to becoming like Christ, who read the word, who are devoted to God and to others. An interesting thing that Jesus also says in this passage in John 15 is, remain in me by loving others. And we know that the love of the Father and the love for others are closely connected. And if we want to see fruit born out in our life, we need to love others. And I'll finish with this, 2 Peter 1:3-9. His divine power, so God's divine power, the Holy Spirit, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness, his character. He's called us by his glory and his goodness, his very being. He has called us through knowing him. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. And in wrapping this all up and tying this all together this morning, his divine power, the Holy Spirit, through knowing him, through knowing Christ, will bear in us his divine nature. His divine power, through knowing him, will bear out in our lives his divine nature. That's what Peter's writing about here. If we want to see this divine nature, this nature of Jesus Christ, the fruit of his spirit born out in our lives to reflect Jesus to the world around us, we need his divine power. We need to know him in our lives. And Peter says, therefore, make every effort to see these things born out in your life. And this morning, I want to encourage you, by his divine enabling, through knowing him, to make every effort, to be diligent, to pursue these things, to be earnest, to desire them, to desire the fruit of the Spirit in your life. I wonder, can we just, Janet and Sarah, if you could come forward. Just as we wrap up, I'd like just to provide an opportunity this morning, just to pray for us. I wonder if we could stand. And I just want to appeal to a couple of groups of people this morning. The first is those that maybe don't know God, or maybe you have known God and you claim to follow Christ, but you're not seeing the fruit of the Spirit born out in your life because of your own efforts and your own reasoning and your own will, and just you've tried and you failed, and you've picked yourself up, you've tried and you failed, and you're in that place where, just as we read in John 15, where there's that dead wood, and there's areas in your life that have just gone dead and dry and barren because of your own efforts, because you have tried to see this fruit born out in your life. But the voice of the Spirit would say, stop. And come to me. And I will make you fruitful. All you need to do is rest in me, to abide in me, to remain in me, to come to me. I will give you rest. I will begin that pruning work in your life to see you bear fruit. And the first people I want to appeal to this morning is, if you are in that place, you're just weary, you're dry, you're not seeing the fruit born out in your life because of all these things, I want to ask you to come forward. And we're going to pray for you this morning for an injection of life, the life of God. So if that's you, can I ask you to come forward this morning? And the second appeal is for those, do you desire these things in your life? Do you desire to be more like Christ? Has there been a resistance in you? Is there a resistance in you to the work of the Spirit, to the work of God, through others, through leaders, through circumstances, whatever it is? And there's been a resistance. And I want to ask you this morning just to respond to God and just to lean into him. to stop resisting the work of God in your life, which is painful, and you might be going through painful stuff at the moment, but God is pruning you for your fruitfulness. And I want to ask you, if you are in this place, to come forward this morning, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to sing "All to Jesus I Surrender." As we do that, if you want ministry, if you want prayer, I want to encourage you to step out from your seats. Church, this is an opportunity this morning to respond to God. If you want to grow in the character of God, then I want to encourage you, just come out your seat, just step forward and get someone just to stand with you and pray for you, that you would be more fruitful in your life. Don't miss this opportunity. We're just going to sing "All to Jesus I Surrender." If that's you, please come forward.